friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
What have you thought of Dylan Gabriel so far?
He has been efficient without the results. How's that sound?
Boy, that's really well put.
I can't really think. He doesn't have a turnover. He's done, I think, everything the coach has asked him to do. He has lived to see another day on a lot of plays that maybe other quarterbacks might have tried to force a play. He has been efficient without the results.
He looks like he knows what he's doing.
He does. I agree.
He looks like he knows what he's doing.
I could live with one interception a game if they open it up a little bit and maybe got some points. I would trade one interception for 14 points. How's that sound?
Yep. I would agree with you on that. It goes back to a story that I've mentioned before. I have a buddy who played Big Ten baseball.
And oh, wow.
Played college baseball.
That's Division One. That's
he always said that his coach, who he didn't really care for, said this: "Son, you're not a very good defensive player. You're going to let in one run a game with your glove, but by God, you're going to hit in two. Head on out. You're in right. Go.
Congratulations.
you're in and you're hitting third. There you go.
If the ball's over your head, think about where you think it's going to land and then come in behind it.
And that's why I agree with you. Open it up a little. If he throws an interception, he throws an interception. But if he throws a 35-yard pass down the middle and opens things up, let's go. And he showed in college that he has the arm strength to do that.
He has the maturity to be an NFL quarterback, too. He's got some poise.
Oh, we're going to hear him. He sounds like he's a 5-year vet. Folks, what have you thought of him so far? And have we seen enough to have any kind of a real impression? I'll give you my thoughts. Andy will give you his. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Dylan Gabriel has made two starts for the Browns. I think he's looked okay. I don't think he's looked good. He certainly hasn't looked bad. He looks to me, Andy,
efficient.
Efficient, competent, under control, but maybe too under control. And I don't mean that from his standpoint. I mean that from the coach's standpoint. I agree with what you said earlier. Turn him loose. Let's go.
So what if he throws an interception at this point? What's the difference?
It's weird because we say, come on, let's go. Turn him loose when he threw it 52 times. Okay, that sounds silly. But it didn't.
There was only one play of over 20 yards last week. And it didn't happen until the fourth quarter.
It didn't look like, and it was the game before, too. Remember, they had two 22-yard plays late when they were trying to get down the field.
Super high percentage throws.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, this guy is known for arm strength. He's known to have a good arm.
And being mobile.
So let him go ahead and make some plays.
The only time...
Trust him a little bit.
Yeah, the only time you've allowed him to be mobile is when the pocket collapses.
Frequently.
Yeah, and so then he's got to run up the gut. That's about it. And so he avoids some things, and he's been efficient.
Well, one thing that might help him here... How about rolling him out? You know,
I said that 10 times last time I was watching. Do we have a screen pass in our arsenal?
Yeah, design the offense a little bit to get him out of harm's way if you can. If you're going to drop him back, I love what Joel Bitonio said. If you're going to drop him back 60 times, he's going to get hit. Joel's right. How about that? And Joel's blocking for him. So, you know, he knows. You're going up against a good Pittsburgh pass defense. You're going to get hit. You're trying to throw it 60 times. I would like to turn him loose. And that goes back, Andy, to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. You're trying to win some games. I get that. Well, guess what? Being really conservative hasn't won you any games either, has it? You're 1-5. And the guy who was the quarterback in that game, you got rid of. Which, fine, I get it. You want to see the young guys. Not a problem. And, you know, you're going to bring in Dylan anyway, even before you traded Joe. So I get it. But turn him loose. Let's see what you have. And if he starts another three games, Andy, and you don't see anything you like, then start Shedeur Sanders. Let's discover something about these guys before you have to go into the draft next year and decide whether you're taking a quarterback or not, which I still assume you are.
If you go back and look at Gabriel's, I'm just looking back at his last two seasons between just looking at Oregon and then what Oklahoma before that, right? You know how many games they scored less than 20 points in those last two seasons of his life? Once. That was against Wisconsin. I mean, he's got to be a little frustrated there, don't you think? I would be frustrated. Like,
yeah, turn him loose, man. Let him go.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, Andy. If you don't turn him loose and let him go, it's not a really fair opportunity for him to be the starting quarterback.
Man, they hung 73 on Arkansas State.
Oh, that's great. Arkansas man. State, they stink. Jeff's in North Olmsted. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
So, you know, I just turned the radio on when I got in the car, and I heard Gabriel, and then I heard you say something along the lines of efficient but without the results. Well, immediately I thought backup quarterback when you described that, and here's why.
Sure.
You know, because that's what it sounds like to me. And, you know, after watching him for a couple games, Stefanski is doing him no favors with the offense, right? So what you're seeing is, you know, him dropping back a ton. He's getting hit a ton. He looks like he's just running for his life right now. And it's hard to judge that body of work just based upon that, especially when it feels like he's just struggling, right? Well, here's the even bigger picture, and I think that it's interesting, too, is because I don't know if you guys have brought it up or anybody else has. Playing on the road is tough, right? Playing at home with a 1-5 record as a new quarterback is going to be even tougher for Dylan, and here's why.
Can't argue with that, Jeff.
The second a couple bad throws are made or he misses a target, guess what? Here come the boos. And then guess what? By about halftime, you're going to hear the "we want Sanders" chant. So, again, it's not going to get any easier for this kid. And, you know, the Sanders thing is obviously we want to see what both sides of it are so we can actually put to bed whether it's going to work or it's not going to work, right? It's going to get hard for Dylan. And then, you know, you guys brought up this roster construction stuff, and here's only one point I want to make, because I do agree with you, Jeff. I think we do need to start moving some pieces here because, guys, this isn't going to be fixed next year. This feels like the 1-31 all over again. It's not going to be as bad as that, but it feels that way. And honestly, I loved Rizzo's rant on Miles the other day, and here's the key to all of that.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Daryl's coming up at 12:40, so get ready for Daryl. We're also going to talk with Chris Rose coming up at 1 o'clock. Matt is in Uniontown. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You are.
Hey, I'm gonna preference this by saying when I was growing up watching the Indians, I was always rooting for that one guy. And I remember the one guy I thought was going to be that guy was Carmelo Castillo.
Yes. So
you guys don't remember Carmelo, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
outfielder.
So, yes. So why I'm bringing that up is the patience that folks are going to have with a rookie quarterback, I just don't think Cleveland fans can do it. And I'm not talking about Gabriel, and I'm not talking about Sanders. I'm talking about when you draft a guy in the first round next year, if you do, what are you going to do when he can't, when he has trouble reading the field, when he's not sure what to do? You know, are you going to hammer him like you're doing these other kids? Like, for instance, on Sunday, I'm floating around for Brown stuff, and Andy, you and Ryder come up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I see is Ryder saying, "See, I was right. He's not mobile. He's not accurate."
He kept saying that,
Yeah, he just ripped him, and I'm like, okay, he probably can't see some stuff because it's the first time he's seeing it. College is one thing, pros is another. This goes back for Sanders. It's like, I've got to be right about, I said this guy was horrible, so I've got to be right. Mary Kay Cabot, I had Sanders going second overall. I got to be right. Well, and I fall into that too. I think most fans do, and some of the media, obviously. But the fans have to understand that guy, there will be a next guy, because Gabriel is probably going to play 10 years as a backup in the league, make a lot of money, and, you know, he'll be fine. So will Sanders. But that next guy is going to make mistakes, too. And if you're going to tear him apart and dissect everything he does until he learns, you're never going to be happy.
He's eight quarters into his career. That's what I keep saying to myself. He's only eight quarters into his career. You got to give him a chance.
Yeah, well, even him or the next guy. Peyton Manning threw 22 interceptions his rookie year. So what are you guys going to do if somebody comes up? It's like the Baker Mayfield thing. I was like, yeah, some liked him, some didn't. But you have to wait. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Matt. Just have to be patient. And you have to get a good sample size, Andy. Honestly, I want to see him turn him loose and let him go. Let's see what he can do. I mean, seriously, at this point, what do you have to lose? Another football game.
I'm sorry to say. I don't know how he can't, how Gabriel can't be frustrated. I just looked through his entire college career, whether he started or not, or whether he even played in the game. He was on teams that scored mega points all the way from UCF to Oklahoma through Oregon. I mean, you're talking about, I think it was less than five times in his, what did he play, 6 years in college, scored less than 20 points in a game. And now you come into the pro set and you can't get past 17, and he's only had two chances to do it. He's been on teams that know how to score and score big.
Well,
and
most of these guys be frustrating. They don't get to the NFL if they aren't part of good offenses.
I'm just saying that's pretty amazing that in the 6 years that he was in college, whether he was playing quarterback or not, his team, you know, and he's had, I don't know, what do you have, 64 starts, right? I mean, insane. It's insane. And you got to feel like you're running into a brick wall when you're in that situation. So he's going to improve. They need to open it up. They need a little more water come out of the faucet.
Chuck's in Brecksville, home of the Bees. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how we doing, man?
Well.
Hey, I want to say something. Well, about yesterday, Andy, you were saying some shows you used to wear shorts or no pants, man. They got jobs for guys like that. It's called Chippendales.
Oh, well, you know what? I was more like Chris Farley
Chuck, that's great.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people wear shorts.
That doesn't make me Swayze, does it?
No, you're nowhere near. Maybe I'm Swayze and you're Farley.
No, actually, so I wanted
to. But you'll never watch local news the same again, will you? Never.
Never, right?
That's right.
So I wanted to chime in
about bothering watching.
Gabriel.
Do it, Chuck. Yeah.
Definitely, he's eight quarters in. He need more time. But the thing is, he's the quarterback, and he orchestrates where the ball goes. Now, he dropped back 58 times. It's about six, seven throws where guys was running wide open, and those were the big plays. So unless Stefanski was saying, hey, don't take any shots down the field, which it's no way I thought he was telling them that. I think that him being able to see is a big deal because he can't take those big shots that's available. Another thing I want to say is a lot of people saying he's mature. I don't think he showed a lot of maturity when he tried to rip Patrick Queen's helmet off. Nobody's talking about that.
I don't remember it. To refresh my memory on the play.
Oh, Patrick Queen laid a clean hit on him in the pocket. He got the throw off, and he literally tried to rip his helmet off.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, you're right.
That was, I think it was just frustration, you know.
Yeah, but, it was frustration. I do remember that.
Patrick has a reputation, though.
Not a good look.
Yeah, no, he's right, though. It's not a good look for your quarterback to start doing that. Yeah, he's right.
You know, and Chuck, thank you. I forget who it was, or I would tell you. But a football guy this week that I talked to said this, and he was wondering. He's wondering if the Browns are having, he said, most of the time when a quarterback reads the defense, it's from deep back to the line of scrimmage. So, in other words, your first look is deep, your second look is intermediate, your last look is the dump off, the shorter pass. And he was wondering, and he said, I can't tell, if it's reverse for the Browns. Your first read is short, your second read is the intermediate, and then your last read is the deep ball.
I don't think he has time for that.
I don't think he did the other day.
No.
That's for dang sure. Real quick, Cleveland. Hey, Cleveland, we got about 30 seconds, but I wanted to get you in before Darryl.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I just wanted to say one thing, man. What a cool customer that quarterback is. He is so cool, same face. Doesn't matter what he does, right or wrong, he still keeps that composure together, and I'll let you roll with that one.
Cleveland,
thank you. He's mature. There's no question about it.
See, that's what I think. I think he's pretty composed. And that's all well and good. I'd rather see him be, you know, volatile and great, but composed and great to me is even better. So I'm hoping that that's what we end up with. Daryl Ryder was out there in Berea today. All of the press conferences, he's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. Let's bring in our man who's out in Berea. He is Daryl Ryder. He's brought to us. Pardon me. By Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
Nice job in the press conferences. Good questions.
Thank you. Didn't exactly get great answers.
No, that's you can't control that, though, Daryl. You can't control all that.
All we can do is ask the questions.
What have you thought of Dylan Gabriel during two games? You missed it. Andy and I both.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Thought basically competent and professional and not overly effective, and we're kind of hoping maybe they unleash him a little bit this week.
Three words: not good enough. Plain and simple. Okay. Not good enough.
How much of that is him and how much of that is the game plan he's been given and maybe the talent surrounding him?
I think it's all conspiring to give you the product that you're watching, to be honest with you. He's not great. He doesn't elevate anybody. He could use a little elevation himself so he can see where he's throwing the football. And it just, you know, the receivers aren't helping him out by dropping footballs. They might be gator arming a little bit because he's putting footballs in kill shot zones. And, you know, dropping back 58 times and throwing it 52 times is not a winning formula. I don't think you can point to one singular thing, Jeff, where you're like, hey, if we fix this, it's all good to go. And that's how you know you have a crisis on your hands, because it's not just one thing, it's everything. And, you know, I don't know how they fix everything, but that's kind of where you are entering week seven, going against another 1-5 team in the Miami Dolphins.
Do you see anything positive about Gabriel?
Not really.
You're killing him. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm just beyond unimpressed with him. And the reels that are going around social media are spectacularly awful. Barstool put one out or posted one and, you know, laughing. Hey, Dylan Gabriel's taking the NFL by storm, and it was every bad throw he had Sunday against the Steelers. And, I don't blame him. I blame the people that hired him.
Would Sanders be better at this point?
No.
In your world, I guess.
No, he's not. I don't think he's ready to play. I don't think the organization feels like he's ready to play. So no, he wouldn't be better. They don't think he's ready to play yet. I don't know how I'd be better. This is the lot they made for themselves, and they kind of have to deal with it. And, you know, we're seeing frustration from the defensive side of the ball because obviously they're doing their job. And the offense can't score more than 17 points. It's 11 straight games of this. 19 games going back, you know, to last year. So, I don't know if this is by design of the front office or whatever, but frankly, it's an unwatchable product offensively. And, you know, the defense is starting to create some turnovers a little bit here in recent weeks. And I kind of feel like the only way they have a shot to win is if the defense scores off those turnovers too. If you get a scoop and score or a pick six. But I don't have very much hope for this offense. It's unwatchable, guys.
You're getting no argument here. Let me ask you this one, though. The way that this team has played through the first six games, we knew they'd be tough. They're 1-5.
Yeah.
You've got to you've got to do something remarkable to put yourself in playoff contention, which I don't think they'll do, obviously.
Not even worth talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. So this, what do you want the rest of the way? Are you trying to get results or are you trying to get information? We kick this around the first hour of the show. I'm all on information right now. See who you think you might be able to move forward with. And if you can, great, they're on the team next year. And if not, you're looking.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about evaluation, right? And listen, I was very clear about that weeks ago when the conversation was about moving from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel. Well, they've done it. So how exciting has that been to watch? Okay, so the answer you're looking for, it's not. And I also said that once they moved to Dylan Gabriel, you're no longer about winning games. It's about evaluation. It's about what you're talking about, you know, collecting information, or as the front office would say, collect data points. Ugh. On things. That's really where it's at, right? So you're evaluating Dylan Gabriel, his growth week to week. Okay, so there was purely zero growth from his first start to his second start. Miami's defense is not very good. So let's see if there's some quote-unquote growth against the Miami Dolphins, as in, can they score some freaking points against a 1-5 team, right? That's what you're looking for. On Sunday, can Jerry Jeudy catch some more footballs that get thrown his way? Can they involve Quinshon Judkins more than he was involved last weekend? Again, I just don't understand how they thought throwing the football 52 times, or in this case 58 because he was sacked 6. But I don't know how they think dropping back 58 times is with an undersized quarterback who can't see. Is a winning formula. On what planet is that a winning formula? And, oh, by the way, the offense is all dink and dunk junk anyway. You know, they're not even pushing the ball down the field. They're not even trying to push the ball down the field. The Pittsburgh Steelers knew that. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't even respect the Browns' passing game, okay? Nobody has any respect for this passing game, nor should they. Have you watched it? So, I mean, I do feel like it is what it is, but Miami's a bad football team. And this is an opportunity for the Browns to kind of get themselves right a little bit. Maybe they can build some positive momentum, going into these next couple of weeks here, by playing well at home, against a 1-5 Dolphins team.
Daryl, do you think the locker room thinks it's as absurd as we do? That you wanted to throw 58 times and you ran at 17?
Well, I mean, I asked Dylan Gabriel about that today, and he gave the diplomatic answer. You know, obviously you want to have you want to be balanced offensively, but you're fighting time, you're fighting the scoreboard. And that's, again, it's understandable, Jeff. But when you're down 9-3, okay?
You're in the game.
You're in the game. Or you're down 16-3. You're still in the game. You still got a shot.
Yep.
And it did not turn into a 3-score game until the fourth quarter, which is, we've seen a lot of that this year, right? You're in the game through 3 quarters, and then the fourth quarter, it slips away from you, and I don't want to say get out of hand, because it's not like they've been run off the field on the scoreboard here, but like it turns into those, you know, multi-score catch-up type of situations. But you can't catch up by throwing screen passes or dinking and dunking 5-yard throws, and even those throws are off the mark. That's my whole point. I mean, he hit Isaiah Bond in the side of the head on a route by the goal line. How does that happen? So,
and he never turned his head to look.
I mean, no play encapsulates this offense better than that. In that one play right there, wide open, coming across the face there of the goal line. Football, not even looking for it, hits him in the side of the helmet. That's your 2025 Cleveland Browns offense, boys and girls.
Daryl, let me ask you this one. Ready? As far as change is concerned, let's just say they don't win this week. Tell me where you are with Kevin Stefanski, because I've got a lot of folks that say to me, Kevin's back next year no matter what. I've heard that from a lot of people. I don't know
I just
know it's football. You just never know.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. What does change do for you, right? is I don't feel like this is a Hugh Jackson situation where it's just incompetence everywhere, right? And, you know, you're just going counterculture to everything just because that's what you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, the situations are a little different. And really the only one that I would consider, just to go along with your premise, okay? I'm not advocating for this, but just to follow with your premise there, the only one I would consider to be qualified for that change would be to elevate Jim Schwartz, the interim head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again,
you're talking about a mid-season change. You're not talking the end-season change.
Okay. Yeah. Kevin was asked the question about being on the hot seat today during the press conference and all that kind of thing. And I don't know that it's the same situation of when they fired Hugh Jackson mid-season and Greg Williams took over and they won 5 of the final 8 games. Like, I don't know that you're going to have that here. I don't know that talent's in this building on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, that's the issue. They have a talent deficiency on the offensive side of the ball. They have a talent deficiency in the receiver room. They're running out of bodies in the offensive line room. They don't have a left tackle. We're finding that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a really good franchise running back in Quinshon Judkins. But outside of that, not much in that running back room either. And then we all know what the quarterback situation is. So what results are people expecting? Like, raise your hand if you thought this team was going to be better than 1-5 at this point. Because everybody, myself included, thought that this is exactly where this team would be. Now, the way that they've gotten there, right, because they could easily be 3-2, but the way that they've gotten there, I think, is what has, you know, folks frustrated. But, like, the results right now are not the least bit surprising as far as, like, where they are at organizationally, big picture. So that's why I'm not getting on board with the, hey, they got to run Kevin Stefanski out of town as quickly as they can. Because I don't believe that that solves the problem. And Kevin has demonstrated when you give him competent talent, he can win with it. And I just don't think that the front office gave him competent talent on the offensive side of the ball. So how are you holding Kevin responsible for that? So what you do have to hold him responsible for is the development of the team, the keeping things together, making sure and that's why I asked Kevin what I did about keeping the team together, right? Make sure offense and defense don't start fighting with each other. Keep the locker room cohesive and things like that. And if he's able to do that, if the young players continue to develop, then, you know, I ultimately think that the organization will accomplish their goal, and that's be in position to draft one of the best quarterbacks in the upcoming draft class, which is, I think, if you give some people in this building some truth serum, that's exactly where they want to be next April.
Last thought, guys who are on expiring contracts, they're free agents at the end of the year.
Right.
Would you move anybody you could?
Well, I mean, I think Shelby Harris makes sense. As much as I love Shelby and how great he is, I think he makes sense because Mike Hull Jr. I think as soon as Mike Hull Jr. becomes available to play, then I think Shelby becomes quote unquote expendable, right? We saw David Njoku in the locker room. He's walking around fine, upbeat. He seemed pretty upbeat today. I think he, you know, becomes a candidate as well. Maybe you can get something for him. He can help a contender. But outside of that, like the conversation about trading any of these offensive linemen, like, you know, trading Wyatt Teller or trading Joel Bitonio or Ethan Postick, like, have you not watched what's going on with the offensive line this year? Do you really think that it would be wise to trade any of the 3 best players you have in that unit, right? Especially if you're trying to develop these young quarterbacks, you want to give them as much protection as possible. So,
and running back.
I'm not in favor of moving any of those offensive linemen. I think they're just too valuable. But, you know, Njoku and Shelby Harris, I think those are the 2 names that you have to watch out for that make the most sense if, in fact, that's, where Andrew Berry is looking to add assets. But also keep in mind, I think they have 11 draft picks next year. Do they really need more draft picks next year?
Valid point. Daryl, thank you, buddy.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter in Berea, brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.